This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I am looking right into the camera right now, and we have, coming up in just a few minutes, we have Brady Quinn, who's going to join us, Fox Sports college football analyst, Fox Sports Radio. He's on Big Noon Kickoff. He's up there with Reggie Bush and the whole thing. It's a big deal. You're going to love him. He's coming up at 9:05. Buckeyes take it on Texas. How big of a game is it still? Because we have a college football playoff. Like, it's not as do or die as it used to be, but I still kind of like it that way better.
Well, there's no doubt the college football traditions, a rivalry, seeing these teams in these uniforms in that venue is going to be awesome. And it's awesome that, you know, these teams aren't scheduling a patsy before they get right to it. And I do think this is the future of college football. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think, you know, the SEC just went to a ninth conference game. But in the end, I think we are all getting closer and closer to having it look more like professional football, where you're playing teams that can actually field a roster that is on par, that if they have a given amazing game, they can beat you. And that's never been the case in college football for the Cadillac programs. They always have games that are walkovers and homecoming games against bad teams. And the SEC likes to load these games at the end of their season, right before their rivalry games. The Big Ten teams get them in early on. I think all that is going away. With that said, you know, what I loved about college football more than the NFL forever was that every game was life or death. And if you lost one of these games, your season could be over. And maybe that was silly. Maybe your season shouldn't be over if you lose a game in August. Okay, it's probably true. You shouldn't. But it was still cool. And it made that season and reacting to those games bigger than life itself. And you remember them 30 years later. I don't know if this Texas-Ohio State game is going to be remembered 30 years from now. Probably not, because it doesn't have that cachet anymore.
Yeah, but there's a lot of big... I go back and read through a lot of history because, you know, I'm really nerdy about that type of stuff when it comes to college football. And there, I see some of these matchups. I'm like, man, really? Like, Ohio State and Florida State played at the beginning of a season? Like, it's like, it throws me off that there were these matchups back in the day that we don't talk about still. So I don't know how many,
like 2005. No, we're still talking about Vince Young coming into the horseshoe and winning in 2005.
I mean, he's still one of the most prolific college football quarterbacks who ever lived. So
yeah, but that
he's a different animal than what some of the other ones
have been. That was the call for him to his launching pad. I mean, he was known, but that was the launching pad for him to have the season that he ended up having, and that was a critical loss for Ohio State.
And here's Brady Quinn, who joins us right now on the Fan Hotline as we get set for the Buckeyes in Texas.
Can I chime in?
Please.
Can I chime in on this?
Yes, please.
So we played USC that year as well as Ohio State. And I think what a lot of people forget, yes, a loss early for Ohio State, but that was Troy Smith's first year starting. And I think that Ohio State team at the end of the year would have been a better matchup for Texas in the national championship than USC. When we had played USC, that defense, when you wanted to, was not as good as the previous years, but they had won national championships. So I've always kind of contended that since we played both, it would have been a better matchup to see Ohio State play Texas versus Vince Young. And as good as that game was, everyone made it such a big deal. It comes down to the end, Vince with the iconic run into the end zone. I think that Ohio State team was all around better by the end of that year than where USC was at.
So it is amazing if you think Brady Quinn joining us right now, if there was a playoff, there's so many years, and Ohio State fans have asked this forever about specific years, had there have been a playoff, what would have happened? And so that does create the excitement and the opportunity. Think about Ohio State last year and how we talk about that Ohio State team last year. The moment they had lost to Michigan and in normal seasons, so many years of college football history, their season's over. Think about what we say about Ryan Day. Think about what we say about so many guys on that team. And then now we have an expanded playoff. They go on to win the championship. So much of our history regarding college football would have changed forever.
I think that's one of the things that makes this expansion, this new age of college football, a bit uncomfortable for me, only because it's been a sport that's been dominated by the regular season. And the rivalries, the history, the tradition of those, you know, why some of the rivalries have even come about. I mean, Notre Dame-USC has been one that has been a hot topic of debate for a number of reasons. But, you know, everything that goes into that, it's being watered down because you have the opportunity for rematches. And obviously those rematches in a sudden death scenario in the playoff feel like there's more magnitude on those games, even though back in the day, I mean, it kind of was a sudden death scenario. It always was that for Ohio State, Michigan, back when there was just the BCS. It's kind of felt like that, obviously, when they had the divisions and only a four-team playoff. It felt like, hey, the loser's not going to get in. So the winner of this game is ultimately going to go on to the Big Ten championship and have a shot of representing the Big Ten, and most likely represent the Big Ten in the playoff if they win. So we are venturing into a new world where, as the playoff expands, it takes away from some of these matchups in the course of the regular season, which I kind of hate. But I understand that, you know, things have to kind of grow and evolve, and that's where we are. There's obviously a lot of money at stake, and that plays as big of a role in anything as anything else.
Well, what you say, I think, is 100% correct, Brady. Brady Quinn joining us on the show. There is a couple of things, though, that I think that might be underlying, that might be maybe a little bit positive. Like a guy like Julian saying, if he goes out there and loses on Saturday, people freak out. Maybe people freak out anyway. But it's like, well, you still have a playoff. You can still right the ship and get going. Like, we're not freaking out and firing your coach and putting you on the bench if you go out there and don't play well against Texas.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that's interesting when I talked to Ryan Day this offseason, was how they have to approach the regular season. And not that they're approaching it like it's okay to lose any game. And you can, you know, you can use the Oregon game, for example, the final moments of that with Will Howard sliding just a little bit too late. Or even their performance versus Michigan, which, I mean, I still go back to that. Like, I was more floored at the result of that game and the performance of that Ohio State team versus the Michigan team that I watched in preparing for that all year, and how Ohio State at their best, like, Michigan shouldn't have been anywhere even on the field with them. And unfortunately, that day at home, it just didn't amount to that. And how Will Howard played in that game. And then you've kind of fast forward to the playoff. It felt like, you know, that team finally, something clicked and they played to their capabilities. They played to their talent. And that's really what it's about now. It's not so much of getting your team to be playing its best football for the end of the regular season, then take this month off and you're playing into a bowl game or playing in a, you know, playoff game scenario. It's now, you know, you're turning around, preparing yourself to get into the playoff and make a run, which is like two entirely different things. And Ryan Day kind of talked about it. Like, we obviously, they need to play their best football right out the gate because you're playing the second or maybe the first most talented team in the country this season. But if you lose, it's not the end of the world. And then being able to, you know, change that mindset, not only for the players, but for the coaches. Because such for a long period of time, it felt like if you lost, like, we're out of it. Like, what are we playing for now? And that's obviously not the case now moving forward with the expanded playoff.
You know, Ohio State has two of the most talented players in the nation, you know, one on offense, one on defense. But who do you give the edge to roster-wise for these two teams?
I give the edge to Ohio State, and to me, it's all about the trenches. You know, if you look at Texas, they've got four or five new starting offensive linemen. The center, Chester, is the only one coming back. Obviously, a new full-time starter in Arch Manning, even though they started a little bit last year. But then also the defensive tackles. You know, Colin Sims is a phenomenal player on the edge, but like Ohio State kind of held up and did their part on their own. And I would actually say that they've got one starter returning, but there's three guys who started games, played significant time for them coming back. So it's not the same conversation as Texas is having on their offensive line necessarily. And the one thing I think I'd point out that I find most interesting to see based on who comes out there and starts and plays for Texas on defense at D tackle is Hirukanu, who's the Ohio State defensive tackle who transferred to Texas. If he starts, it's kind of telling that he had to go to Texas in order to get onto the field, at least in regards to what Ohio State feels like they have in the interior of the defensive line and what, you know, where Texas is at in the interior of the defensive line. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to tell you all you need to know. And I think that advantage is in the way of Ohio State. That's how it played out in the semifinal game. Obviously, Texas not being able to run the football, not being able to really stop the run. The only X factor to all of that for Texas is Arch Manning's legs. He's a way more capable runner than Quinn Ewers, who took four sacks and, you know, could run at times, but is not more of a dual threat. And Arch Manning is closer to that. So, you know, what Manning's able to do with his legs and how it could open some things up for the running backs of Texas and open up the running game, it's something to keep an eye on. But Ohio State, to me, with the experience on their O-line, some of the experience they had to throughout the course of the playoffs, getting those guys who maybe weren't full-time starters, but really, really important starting experience, and then what they have on their defensive front, to me, that's where the biggest advantage is. And obviously, you know, we can talk about the receivers and, you know, how talented Ohio State's receiver room is, et cetera, but I still just think this game is won and lost in the trenches.
How long have you known about Arch Manning, and what are you expecting for this to be his real debut? I know he's played in a couple of games, but this is his real college football potential coming out party.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you go back to last year, and like, you know, starting versus Mississippi State, is, you know, it was in the cellar of the SEC last year. I wouldn't necessarily say it helps you prepare and, you know, helps you knock off some of that. But like what he's going to experience in Columbus, you know, come noon on Saturday has been entirely different, you know, start and experience and speed of the game. But, you know, we've known the Manning family for kind of a while, and Cooper Manning has done some work with Fox. You know, when we talked to him, like, he kind of talked about Arch as he was coming up through high school and started to kind of follow what he was doing in the state of Louisiana. And you got kind of a sense and feel that he was going to be potentially falling in the footsteps. Once I got to Austin, I was able to see him when he came in as a freshman. And this is back when, you know, Ewers was hurt, Malik Murphy was playing, and they really had a plan set in place for Arch to sit and learn and grow, not only physically, but also kind of mentally within the system, and kind of bring him along. You could tell, though, watching him practice, watching him throw the ball, he had the arm strength. He was a bigger kid. I mean, even as a freshman, he dwarfed what Quinn Ewers looked like, you know, physically. And so you knew he was going to have check all those boxes of what he needed to be in order to succeed. And I think what I saw from just watching him a little bit last year was he's got kind of that playmaking ability. And I'm not saying that like Peyton didn't or Eli didn't, but it's different. He's probably closer to Archie Manning, his father, as far as with his ability to move around and run and make some plays. You know, he kind of saw his first sample size versus Colorado State when he got in the game. He kind of flips the ball out on a scramble, making the play for a touchdown. There's just a number of things you saw, and you're like, all right, you know, Peyton and Eli weren't doing that. So you kind of knew a little bit last year with some of his playmaking ability, but even just seeing him, you know, spit the football around in practice, you knew he had potential for sure.
Is there anything that you've seen in the limited experience that you've seen him on the field where it's like, I don't know, that could be like a terminal flaw. That might be a flaw that gets in his way. Is there anything there that might scare you for the future?
No, I mean, honestly, I haven't seen enough of him yet to be able to even make that sort of determination. You know, I think when you see a little bit and get a small sample size, you're kind of looking at least I am, more with the upside. And honestly, watching his game, I mean, he's the type of guy, if he plays the way he's capable of this year, he'll be the first overall pick next year. He just is. Like, he... You know, there's not another quarterback in this draft class that I feel like checks all the boxes the way he does. And I know we give him a lot of credit because he's a Manning. But again, when you would put on last year the film and you'd watch his balls zip across the screen compared to Quinn Ewers, it just looked different. It felt different. When you see him in person, you're like, all right, this guy's got more higher-end potential. And obviously, again, Ewers didn't get drafted as high as I'm sure he would have liked. Definitely not as high as when he first went to Ohio State. And people thought, he, you know, the type of quarterback and player he was going to be. It didn't ever really turn out to be that. I think Arch Manning has the ability to be that player that everyone expects him to be. So I don't see any flaws with what he's done so far, but also he hasn't played probably enough to really see any of that.
Brady Quinn with us quickly. Shedeur Sanders is going to start the season maybe on the practice squad. Could be third string for the Browns at quarterback. What do you think of the whole situation and how it's been handled by the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I think the tough thing is like, you know, if you're why trade for Kenny Pickett if you're going to draft both Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders in the third, fifth round? Now, you might say, well, hey, look, we want to have two veterans duke it out to be the starting, you know, starter for the season. And then obviously whoever didn't win it was going to get traded. And we believe in these two rookies and their development. But look, I think, you know, both Dylan and Shedeur have made strides. They're obviously rookies. They still have a lot to learn. You know, I think the thing that's come up a little bit with Shedeur is just, you know, the sense of the pocket. And a lot of guys that are young, they get in this habit of turning their hips parallel to the line of scrimmage. And that naturally, you know, forces them to want to run left or right instead of up into the pocket to then throw. And that's something that you can train out of you. Bryce Young had that habit. I called a game early in his rookie year, and he was able to kind of train it out more last year to get better at moving up into the pocket to then throw the football and get the ball out of his hand quicker. But this is a game of anticipation, and you've got to be able to throw the ball to spots and before those guys are even out of their breaks. And I think as he grows and continues to get comfortable, you know, you'll see a lot of things you saw at Colorado. I mean, he's got the ability to throw the football and play in this league. It's just about speeding up that pace of play and then understanding how to navigate within that pocket.
Brady Quinn joining us here on the Fan Hotline. So if Ohio State has the better roster, why do guys like Paul Feinbaum say it's going to be a blowout for Texas?
An SEC homer. I mean, it's not that complicated.
I forgot Texas was in the SEC.
I know, but I had to set you up with it. I didn't know if you'd take the bait. I'm glad you did. Thank you so much.
I mean, here's the thing. I try to be, you know, honest with people. I realize I work for Fox. Everyone thinks we're Big Ten thumpers. I mean, I'm a Notre Dame alum. We're not even at a conference, so I kind of take a different approach to everything. The way I look at it is Texas and Ohio State are two of the most talented teams. All right, but like, there's no doubt about it. But to say they're going to drum Ohio State, I don't see it. Like, I really don't. I think these teams are very evenly matched. Both defenses will be ahead of the offense. I'd be shocked if it's a shootout. So for those out there who like to gamble, I'd say play the under. But, you know, to me, this is one where, like, home field advantage is going to play a huge factor. You know, anytime we opened up early in a season on the road, especially before teams really got going, and you know whether just how good they are or how bad they are, it's tough, man. It's tough. Like, it's a new operation. Both teams got a lot of newness out there, and there's going to be some of those early game, you know, ball security, tackling, like all those things that you don't really find out about until you play the first game. So I just think that always gives a distinct advantage to the home team in this case. And I don't see this being a blowout. I think this is going to be a great game. Again, more defensive in nature. It all comes down to the trenches. But whoever loses this game is definitely not out of it.
All right. If he asks you, will you help smuggle in David Portnoy into the shoe for the broadcast?
You know, I was getting late texts last night about all this and all this stuff, and I saw the comments of Ross Bjork. And let me just say this. I don't know what the hell's going on. I will say this, and I don't know, I'm not going to say in defense, but we've had people who are not on our desk to start our show be on the desk in the stadium. It's a tight fit, but we've done it. I mean, I'll put it this way. Matthew McConaughey is going to be there. I'm pretty sure he'll be on the desk inside the stadium. He's coming from Texas, the team they're playing. So I don't know what damage control Ohio State's doing, how much validity there is to whether or not he was actually banned or if this is all just made for TV. What I do know is there's room for one more at the desk. We've had players, coaches, other people on. So wherever front office sports got that report from, you know, someone doesn't want him in the stadium. And I know Ohio State wasn't happy about the hire, so it feels like they're doing a bit of damage control right now. I just think it's all petty. It's all ridiculous if that's the case. I mean, it's fun. It's a great, you know, it's a great game. Like, why are we, you know, focusing on this off the field crap when we've got the greatest, you know, matchup to start a season I think we've ever seen in college football history?
Brady Quinn, Fox Sports college football analyst, Fox Sports Radio, former Brown, former Notre Dame Fighting Irish. He'll be on Big Noon Kickoff coming up on Saturday. Brady, thank you so much for the time.
Yep, thanks for having me, guys.
Brady Quinn on the Fan Hotline. That is Brady Quinn, Fox Sports college football analyst. He'll be on Big Noon Kickoff. Yes, Dave Portnoy not allowed to be on the desk where Ross Dellinger, then he had said earlier, Ross Dellinger is Yahoo Sports, great writer, great college football writer. really gets into the nitty-gritty when it comes to the NIL stuff. But Ross Dellinger had written, Ohio State did not issue a ban on Dave Portnoy. AD Ross Bjork tells Yahoo Sports. Bjork confirms that Fox decided Portnoy would not be on the main desk of Big Noon kickoff, and those not on the desk do not normally appear on the field. These are Fox decisions, he emphasized, to which Lima rolled his eyes. Later, Ross Dellinger said that a Big Ten spokesperson tells Yahoo Sports that the league's understanding from Fox that Dave Portnoy will not appear on Big Noon kickoff's main stage inside the stadium of any conference school this year.
So now the thought is that he's been banned from every Big Ten stadium.
What's the point?
To that, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear that...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors, with more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Whether it's just Ohio State, whether other schools want to join in on the fun, they reacted very hostily to any thought of Portnoy coming into their stadium and rabble-rousing, apparently.
That is...
This is, by the way, for Portnoy, this is the best news ever. I mean, let's be honest. Like, I know, call Ohio State soft, whatever. They clearly had a stake in this. But this is great for David Portnoy.
I do not care about college football as much as you guys right now because I'm busy on Saturdays. I honestly didn't know he was part of the coverage now.
And now you know.
I do for sure. And now I will definitely be watching on, because we don't play until like later in the afternoon. So I'm going to watch Saturday morning to see how all this goes down.
And to see how they incorporate it.
Yes.
It's not going to be, it's not like they're going to tape a segment ahead of time or anything like that. He's not doing a Frank Caliendo. Right. All right. He's the whole point
that's
of
right.
what
I
he
guess
does.
Can watch it.
I mean, anybody that's seen his content, especially when it comes to Michigan and Ohio State, I mean, he says the worst things you could possibly say about Ohio State. And so their administration, they probably did not want that at all. They have a billion-dollar partnership with Fox. So this is garnering a lot of headlines, so that's good for Fox.
Well, remember, I mean, his entity was at one point owned by a different company. They got their entity back. And there's things that he has said before that corporations find beyond the pale. There's, you know, the pizza reviews and things like that are fantastic. I think that it would make a lot of people in suits be fearful, but it's also going to bring a lot of eyes. I mean, when I found out that Dave Portnoy was going to be on there, I was going to watch. And I'm still going to watch because now it's just like exactly what Owen just said. I have to see what's going to happen. Now, that's before I head on over to my game and when Owen heads on over to his game, but I got to see what's going to go down because that's going to draw some eyeballs. Already on a spectacle that's going to draw a lot of eyeballs at noon. I mean, it's the biggest game of the year. It's Ohio State, Texas. You got these two teams that may very well meet in the college football playoff again or even in the national championship game. I think it's going to be much more difficult for Ohio State than it is for Texas for multiple reasons. But I also think that, boy, what he said about Feinbaum was, you know, I sometimes don't like asking the questions because I don't want to turn it into gotcha, but I had a feeling that Brady would say what he said, and he did, and I was so happy because it's like, all right, he knows the truth because he said it, and I think that I am a little bit bothered by this is that we are starting to try to draw up sides where Fox, CBS, NBC, it's Big Ten, Big Ten, Big Ten, and then nothing else. Where ESPN now, it's all SEC and nothing else can be talked about. Where you have to have a little bit of balance there. Like, you're going to carry SEC teams on a Fox broadcast at some point, a la Saturday. You're going to be carrying Big Ten teams on an ESPN broadcast, a la college football playoffs. So there has to be some balance there. You just can't do partisan politics on either conference. Maybe you can. Maybe I'm full of it. I don't know. Maybe you feel differently about it. Maybe you can be partisan and just say, yes, the SEC is going to roll right through everything. Because I know the SEC has their talking points. And the SEC, I mean, yes, Danny Cannell. The SEC likes to control their message. So maybe Paul Feinbaum's falling right in line. I'm not sure.
Kenny,
but
just,
I thought there should be some balance for crying out loud.
They're just taking the cues from what the cable news networks do. Right? Every cable news network has
its
side,
cable news network
and they
had
bring on their cheerleaders.
Yeah, but you at least had, like, what, Bob Beckler at mm-hmm. one point? You had a couple. I mean, there was still a Combs with a Hannity. Like, there still was a side that was liberal on a side that was a side that was conservative. There was a conservative on liberal shows that were on MSNBC.
I watched The Five, where it is a handicap match against Jessica, and she holds her own, I must say.
What's the show called?
That's The Five.
What is it, a five?
Oh, that's on Fox.
And what's that?
It's a bunch of Republicans versus one Democrat.
And this is every day.
And I think Tarloff does an exemplary job.
Who are these people?
Jesse Waters.
Okay. Who's that?
And then the other ones, I think, all got plucked by the administration. So I don't know if they're on the show anymore.
Oh, God. Here we go. It's Tuesday. It's not Friday. It's not 9:45 either. 216-474-0092. You want to see him, you don't want to see him too soon. How long's the leash on Joe Flacco?
I may have misspoke when I said three games because they wouldn't go with a rookie against Detroit, right? In game four?
Oh, I think it's all... Hey,
or do you think it's all on the table?
Yes, I think it's all on the table. I hate that type of thing. You need to get that out of here. You're a pro football player. You're going to be on this active roster. You can play against anybody. They're all tough games. There's no Texas State on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's an insult. There's no FCS school on there.
Yeah.
These are big boys. This is the NFL. They're all tough games. I don't give a damn what anybody says. Even the Browns. Like, yeah, if you wanted to start a rookie, you were going to start the rookie in 2017 against the Browns and not some other teams. Fair, fine enough. But, man, they're still tough games. Well, even the Browns in 2017 almost won a couple.
Then you've got, what, the international game after that?
Yeah.
Do they have two international games or one?
Just one.
One international game. Oh, that's right, because... The Minnesota situation is they're there.
Minnesota has two.
Yes.
Yes.
216-474-0092. Scott in Streetsboro, you're next up on The Fan. Hello.
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing?
Scott.
What is up, my man, Scott? Sorry. Go ahead.
Scotty? What's up, my man?
We had to do it. Go ahead, Scott.
No, it's all good. My biggest problem is Andrew Berry's treatment of the quarterback room and the backup quarterback specifically. And it goes all the way back to Case Keenum Joe Flacco, you name it. Anytime we have a solid backup quarterback, which in my opinion, a room should have your franchise guy, a backup who can come in and go 2-2 over four games, and your developmental guy. Every time we get that backup, we get rid of him. And he should be asking, what happens if Flacco goes down on the first play of the game? You're going to put these guys out there and the season's going to be over.
Yeah, I mean, they'll say that they think he's ready. I don't know how you could possibly be, especially given the limited reps, you know, that they all had to split, you know, in the lead up to this. But that's what they would say. The guy they overdrafted in the third round is ready to go.
Yeah, the same thing. They thought that about DTR too, right? Or PJ Walker.
Well, they traded Dobbs. Yeah. So you're right.
So that's it. I'm just frustrated because I think he and that Deep Podesta probably is in the same frame of mind that this is all analytics driven. They don't think there's any value in having that veteran as a backup that can come in and win for you.
Well, Scott, see, there's a lot there I agree with. And I know I've been a little bit defensive of Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski in history. Again, when it comes to Deep Podesta, and Scott, thank you very much for the call. Again, I only see his face when things are going well. But when it comes to the other two, like, yeah, they got to stand in there and they got to answer some tough questions. And when I look at what they've done, one of the issues that I've had, the locker room culture stuff, they do not pay close enough attention to that. It's clear as day. You don't, like, I balk at the 22 Scott Solomon's call we got years ago that Zach Jackson so references. Yeah, you can't have 22 Scott Solomons, but you got to have a couple of guys in there that are going to be ass kickers that are not just good football players, but are also going to hold people accountable. You have the best football player, arguably, in the NFL when it comes to non-quarterbacks and Myles Garrett. He holds nobody accountable, and he's not interested in it. That I'll always have a problem with where it's like, okay, you can have a Myles Garrett, but you better have a good player. You don't need him to be the MVP defensively, but you need to have a good player that's able to do that. Maybe Carson Schwessinger is going to be able to do that at some point, but it's a month into his NFL career, I'm not sure. And I don't know if they took Carson Schwessinger because of that. And also, the rookies where, damn it, they're just going to do it where they look at it like we do with some of our baseball players and going, why not bring him up? Why not bring him up to the majors? And we do that with quarterbacks all the time here. Well, he's going to play at some point. Go ahead and do it. Like, if you are on the active roster, you should prepare as if you're going to play at some point. You should do it. But there is a history here over the last decade now of guys that they took who were not ready and not good. So one, you drafted the wrong player because he ain't good. Two, you didn't do your job of getting the guy ready to do it because he probably wasn't good enough to begin with. And then I go back on your draft process. Cut deadline at 4:00 today, and the Browns have made another one official. Mike Garofalo.
Breaking Browns news. Hot. Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
Of the NFL Network, Mike Garofalo saying that the Browns are releasing Diontae Johnson. Wide receiver Diontae Johnson. He gone.
So that means our man...
That means Champions Pose on Keith Britton.
Is going to be making the roster.
That means Champions Pose on Keith Britton is what that means. And it's Larvadan. You said his name messed
Labradan.
Up.
Larvadan. Larvadan.
Gage Labradoodle.
So he is on the roster. He made the team.
He's got to be on the roster. Who else is going to catch footballs?
Who else is going to catch footballs? You got Isaiah
Bond.
Do they
plan on using...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Fannin in a wide receiver role.
Well, all right. Yeah, they'll line him up.
Let's play safe or not safe without me actually looking at the guys they've already cut. Here we go. Sed Tillman, Jerry Jeudy, Jamari Thrash. Almost called him James Thrash. Safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Caden Davis. Isaiah Bond, safe. Gage Larvadan.
Yeah, I think he's
is
on.
Is he on the same parallel as Caden Davis? Between the two of them, between Gage and Caden Davis.
Caden Davis showed me something. If you're going to keep six, I'll keep Caden Davis and Gage Larvadan.
Does that give you six right there?
Isaiah Bond, yeah. Tillman, Jeudy, Thrash, Davis, Bond, Larvadan. Labradoodle.
All right.
Gage Labrador Retriever.
Boy, Deontay Johnson in that.
It's National Dog Day.
In week two of him being here, people started to say, could he be wide receiver two? Could he be the second best wide receiver
on this team? Does it seem like now that we have the benefit of hindsight that they went, well, if we don't get Isaiah Bond, which apparently they had been talking since April, right?
Well, they were talking before that.
That was all the reports, right? Yeah, yeah. So if we don't get Isaiah Bond, well, we've got Deontay Johnson. And if we get Isaiah Bond, then see you, Deontay. If you're Andrew Berry.
And that's the end of that.
Yeah, I mean, that could be it. This wide receiver room in general, though, and Jeudy, you know, it's fun to talk about Jeudy based on the explosiveness we saw last year. And again, in camp, he's been terrific. The preseason game, he didn't show anything, but who cares? We saw what he did last year, and he was excellent. He got the targets. If Flacco is starting, you know he's going to get a ton of targets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where you have him ranked as a wide receiver in the NFL. Does he have a chance to play his way into being like a top 15 wide receiver?
Jerry Jeudy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where do you think he is now?
Top 20, top 15.
Okay.
He's really good for the Browns.
I know we always talk about number ones. What's a number one wide receiver? Like, I don't mean, oh, is he the best wide receiver on a team? Because then by default, every team has a number one wide receiver.
Do you think Jerry Jeudy showed you enough to be a number one for like a Josh Allen? Because it looked like he caught everything and there was a bunch of different quarterbacks mm-hmm. throwing to him last year.
That's true.
Now, I know that the last couple of games didn't
go his way.
He's
got to do it for another year. I think he's got to do it for one more year.
So I would assume if Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow were throwing to him, I think he might be all right there. That's my entire point on
that.
Yeah,
his whole thing has to be consistency, an entire season. I know the last two games of the year, there was a lot of, I felt like the Denver Broncos, Jerry Jeudy showed up again at the end of the year because they were done. They were eliminated. So, you know, he's a guy that needs to be engaged from moment one. I think Flacco being the quarterback certainly helps you out with that.
Zach Jackson has just put out that based on what we saw in camp, Deontay Johnson never seemed to be near the right side of the bubble. And when you can't make this receiving core, you might be out of chances. Pittsburgh wide receivers, man. some in that water, they go rotten. Scott in Cambridge, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning, Scott.
Hey, let's play a little game of called logical thinking.
Let's
here.
Go. And let's do it.
It's literally killing me. Okay, so a podcast, Rich Eisen. Daniel Jeremiah, his top 100 draft prospects in this year's draft all went top 100. Not in that order. Team needs and this, that, and the other. However, one did not. And we all know who that one is. So now you take a quarterback competition that was supposed to be one of the most heated that Cleveland has seen for a while. You signed Kenny Pickett right out of the gates. I knew Kenny Pickett wasn't going to be on this team, and it was very logical.
What, after he got injured, or did you say that before he got injured?
No, I say that because of the Joe Flacco signing after the fact. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
You know, Flacco come off the bench short two seasons ago.
Why didn't they just sign Flacco first?
Well, that's a good question. And even more of a good question is, so this guy that you were banking on and because of injury didn't get to see the field, is that telling us that you knew that he wasn't going to be on this team to begin with and not having a backup that was capable of coming in off the bench in case something did happen to Flacco? That's a big question mark. So this narrative of the whole Sanders thing is even more of a joke. Because they fed into this all the way down to the last 2 minutes of the last preseason drive to a guy that's not even going to be on the team. I thought it was biased at best, very, very poor competition, which everyone thought this may be the best competition they've seen in a while. And then that's taken the Sanders narrative completely out of it. I mean, just flat out, let's compete. Let's see what we have. Mm-hmm. So now they're telling us that Flacco is going to start. If he goes down to injury or within the first 5-6 weeks of the season were garbage, you have left it over to two rookies. One, we know nothing about because he was unfairly given the reps and stolen reps and at one time was thrown to the equipment managers. However, I will say that the incredible amount of pressure that this kid had on him with all of the talk and all of this and all of that. By default, he was thrust into the second preseason game with injuries, and he did nothing but perform. He did exactly what he said.
So you believe that this is mismanagement of Shedeur Sanders' training camp and maybe Dylan Gabriel?
Well, I absolutely believe that it was unfair. Totally unfair.
Well, now that Kenny Pickett's traded, I agree. I mean, I agree.
What did you do there? And you even stole a two-minute drive to get him in position to see if he could do the same thing, given five people blocking in front of you that aren't even on the team.
I agree. I totally agree. Yeah. Scott, I'll tell you, the only thing I guess I can be ticky-tack with, and thank you for the call, is I think three or four or five actually did block for Dylan Gabriel as well. But, I mean, that's still – they were blocking for the other rookie, and they weren't on the team. So you could use that as well. See, that's I totally agree. I think it's a mismanagement. That's what it's supposed to be there for to a certain degree. But I have to agree with what he just said, what Scott and Cambridge just said.
In a draft – this is why when we talk about
– that's a miss.
When we talk about GMs, people just think about their drafts. And the drafts are one thing, and they might actually nail the draft. We'll find out. We can say that in August very confidently. We'll see what we're saying, you know, come January. But running an organization is not just the drafts. It's being able to facilitate an environment that makes sense for the most amount of players, especially the most important position in all of sports. That's the quarterback. And I don't know how anybody could think that they passed that test this year. And that is what is so hard when we're talking about grading Andrew Berry, and is he going to get another contract extension, or could he be thrown out at the end of the year along with the whole organization? Like, I think this is all part of it. I don't think this helped. I don't think this quarterback situation and how they forced the coaching staff to run this camp made any sense.
Andrew on Twitter wrote, Ken, Bobby was complaining about defense, not offense. Every big inning, that seem to give up multiple runs have usually been started with an egregious error. That's probably why he was pissed, because of Naylor's error.
Or how about, you know, his fastball that's getting just drilled as he's given up 25 home runs
this year.
You
can be as mad as you want.
Is he going to blame the defense on that?
Him being as mad as you want.
Last time I checked, those balls, you don't have a chance to defend them.
Coming in there and yelling at everybody, that's not going to solve the issue. And I know that Stephen Vogt covered for him and said he was trying to get people pumped up. If you're trying to get people pumped up, you would have let him do it. If you're being a good teammate. Yeah. If you're just going to start a bitch sesh right there in the dugout, then Stephen Vogt had to step in there, because it didn't seem like Stephen Vogt was very happy about it, because the guy was bitching everybody's ear off and nobody wanted to hear it. You saw what David Fry did. David Fry walked right away. Jose Ramirez glared at him for a second, so I think that needs to be pointed out there. Yeah, that ain't good.
Yeah, I don't think Jose is going to love having someone who's, what's that ERA? What's that ERA over
almost
the past?
Seven since July.
Holy cow, that's not good. I know we don't use these stats anymore. Those
time
are too
to
primitive.
Up,
these are archaic stats.
Young guy getting some money. ERA. Time to grow up.
Give me the war.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.